it's going to be difficult to know where you are going or where we are going if you are not following. If you are not following, you can't know. Many things we said yesterday, if I start going back to them, we'll close my 9 o'clock today. And like I said, a 5-year-old child is no longer a 1-year-old child. Are you with me? And like you saw, if you looked at the poster closely, it was called mandate service, but it was what we wrote was family meeting, new structures, new visions. So more or less, I'm trying to show you where we are going to, what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing that we need to put in order now. We emphasized on the vision of the ministry yesterday. We talked about who we are. Why are we called New Breed? We talked about the doctrinal premise. We are called New Breed because if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Praise the Lord. Jesus also coined that term, being born again. And we looked at many things yesterday. Very important things. We talked about the vision that God has given us, a mandate to raise the generation. Or we put it like this. We envision a generation with the passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. And I took time to break that down. Please, go and watch it. I'm begging you. Praise the Lord. So we said, so you say after me, we envision a generation with the passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. And just before we closed yesterday, we began to emphasize on what a mission is. A mission is different from a vision. A mission is what you do to achieve the vision. Are you with me? This is important too. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29 verse 18. I'm sure you have heard this quote. If you don't know where you are going, anywhere will look like it. There's a reason some things are very important to us, because that's our vision. Worship, let me tell you something. Worship is a very big part of our ministry, because it helps us. It's a litmus test of how much revelation you have. Okay, if your life is for the glory of Christ, there is a way you worship Him. Are you with me? Your response to Christ will be different. It will be obvious from the way you worship. From the way you are expressing yourself to God, we will know what God means to you. Praise the Lord. Even in the way we sing our songs, you will see the vision inside. For instance, this popular song, Hosanna in the highest. The original says, let our King be lifted high, right? But Newbury does not sing it like that. How many of you have noticed? We don't sing, let our King be lifted high, if you have noticed. What we sing is, for our King is lifted high. Because when you are saying, let him, it means he's not lifted high. That's what we are saying, that he's not yet there, but let us allow him. Let's allow him. Let our King. In some people's lives, actually, that song is appropriate. God is not lifted high in their life. So when they are singing, God is a prayer. Let God be lifted up in this one's life. But for us, Christ is glorified. Are you with me? For our King is lifted high. The Bible says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things underneath the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Glory! So we sing, for our King is lifted high. For our King is lifted high. We envision, say after me again, we envision a generation with the passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. Glory. So, I want to emphasize on the mission. How do we get there? And so, what is the mission? We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ. by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ. So we can say after me, we are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, from that mission, it means this is not a church you can be part of, and not grow spiritually. You can't escape it. It's either you choose two options. Option A, grow spiritually. Option B, choose option A. You can't escape it. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ. To present all men perfect in Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 21. He says, and you, who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Glory! Say after me, he has reconciled me. Ah. Oh my God. This verse is a sermon of his own. He said, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now listen, he's saying that you were enemies of God and you were alienated from God. Where? In your mind. Let me explain. Then he's saying that even though you were enemies and you were alienated from God in your mind by wicked works, even in that state, Christ reconciled you to himself. Let me explain what this is. The real meaning of what this is. For instance, maybe your mom, who knows this soup called Afang soup? That soup is best prepared with many obstacles inside. There has to be so much meat, snail, this one, that one. So it's you, stockfish, so many things inside. And so your mom prepared that soup and says, I'm going out, just help me wash the plate, clean the kitchen. And in trying to wash the plate, she mistakenly hits the soup and it fell down and poured on the ground. And you know your mom. That when she lands and sees that you've done that, it's better the ground opens than for you to meet her or she meets you that way. Are you with me? But maybe let's assume that period she had a divine encounter with Jesus. Let's assume she had a divine encounter with Jesus and she just made up her mind that nothing will make me angry this period. And so, you are waiting for her. You are just trembling, waiting for her to just come and just... She comes and says, where is the soup? You say, as I was washing, something happened. And you are waiting for her to pounce on you. But unknown to you, she has made up her mind that in everything that will happen that day, I will forgive in advance. But you did not know that. You did not know that that was what was in her mind. And maybe she came, let's assume she didn't even talk to you. She just came and saw that you poured the soup and walked away. And your mind is like, hey. She's talking to you normally. You say, maybe she just calls you, give me a name. Give me one name. Imabong. Correct. Say, Imabong, how are you? Have you, okay, you cleaned the whole thing, right? You are wondering, this one, she's not seen anything. And throughout that day, you cannot come and talk to her. You cannot come and greet her. You cannot, you are just hiding where you are. Not knowing that she has forgiven you and reconciled you to herself already in her mind. But you, in your own mind, because of what you did, you are separated from her. So he's saying that Christ has already reconciled even the unrepentant sinner somewhere. Christ has paid for him. But as long as he does not know that he has been paid for, in his mind, he will be separated from God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, see, the unsaved man is God loves him with an everlasting love that he does not even know about. But because of the wicked works in his mind, he's an enemy of God. He's an enemy of God, not in actuality, but in his mind. He's an enemy of God. In his mind, God does not love him. In his mind, God hates him. In his mind, he's rejected of God. Are you with me? It's all in his mind. You know, there is a way somebody will look at you and you will think the person has a beef against you, but it's in your mind. Are you guys what I'm saying? There's a way you can look at this sister and that pastor don't like me. But it's in your mind. It's just in your mind. It's after me has reconciled me. Glory. The example I gave is not a good example. It's a lame example. But I'm trying to show you that, see, God has reconciled even the unsaved man to himself. What is keeping him unsaved is that his mind has not been regenerated. He has not heard the gospel. Are you with me? Let's read on, please. Verse 22, please. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So he's saying that the way he reconciled you was by when he died. Are you with me? When he died and shed his blood by his death for you, he made you holy. This was how he reconciled you to God. By the death of Jesus on the cross, you have been reconciled to God. And the consequence of that is that because of that, right now, you can be presented holy before God. You can be presented unblameable before God. Are you with me? You can be presented unreprovable in his sight. Amen. Let me jump to verse 27. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. This thing is better read all together. Even though it's a long read, but it's better read all together. Colossians 1 verse 22. From verse 21, I'll read everything. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached unto every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, I am made a minister. See, the way I like to teach the Bible is, no subject, I'll just come take a chapter, let's... Do you know what this means? Hey, God. Let me start again. He says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Everybody read verse 23. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be moved not away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, have made a minister. First of all, he's saying that if it is true that you were reconciled to God, you will continue in the faith. Who has heard this argument about eternal salvation? Are you saved, once saved, forever saved? Can somebody sin out of being a Christian? He's actually saying that if a person is genuinely saved, he cannot sin out. You cannot begin to sin and sin that sin that will make you leave the faith. That's not the question that will come up, eh? If you are genuinely saved, you will not be asking that kind of question. Pastor, what if I am committing fornication at the rapture? What if... Are you following what I'm saying? All those type of questions. You know, people are asking those kind of questions that, what if the trumpet sounds? And when the trumpet sounds, then a Christian is now sleeping with somebody that is not his wife. Will he still make heaven? Let me tell you, if you are on top of somebody that is not your wife, when the trumpet sounds, you are not saved. You are not saved. In fact, you will not even hear the trumpet. Oh, people say, no, when I hear the trumpet, pararara, I will not say, oh God, Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse me from my sin. You know, let me give you an example of what a trumpet will look like. You know, the Bible has what is called types and shadows of things to come. So there is nothing God wants to do in the future that he has not done it in a smaller way before. Are you with me? So when Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, it was a type of what the rapture will look like. The Bible says that the graves opened and the saints in Israel arose. Listen to what I'm saying. That the graves opened in Israel and the saints who had died before. Does that not look like Thessalonians chapter 5 that says the dead in Christ will rise first? Don't forget. So as at that time, all the people who followed God or believed in God before Christ came, they rose up from the grave, and the Bible says their bodies began to move around Israel and they began to appear. And people saw them. Their families saw them. And guess what? When it was time for them to ascend with the Lord, Jesus Christ went to the Mount Olives, talking to his disciples, and then the Bible says that cloud, the cloud of witnesses, all those people that rose from those graves, they joined him. The atmosphere in Israel was a very solemn one. Just few days or few hours before Jesus was going to be taken up, people were having encounters with their other relatives who were saints before. When the rapture is closed, you cannot be seen in. A Christian, when it's close to the rapture, the atmosphere, the whole world will know. Believers all around the world will know that something's about to happen. In fact, we will start having divine encounters. That's not the time you'll be on top of somebody that is not your wife. If you are on top of somebody that is not your wife at that time, you don't follow. Because the spirit realm will be conditioning you. The Bible says, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, we shall be changed. That thing is too holy for iniquity. Are you with me? Your spirit man will be longing for heaven more than earth. You will be caught up. How will I put it now? Your spirit man is more in tune with that time, with that place than here. That if you can still find time in that whole atmosphere to go and find somebody's house and one babe that is not your own, you don't belong to this kingdom. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you why I'm teaching like this. Remember, we're talking about our mission, right? Our mission. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints. Let me tell you, it is possible to be going to church, but you have not encountered the truth. Let me tell you something, You know, yesterday they were discussing in my house and they were asking me what will happen after the rapture. I said, after the rapture, tribulation will start. In fact, tribulation will be so much. So the person that asked me another question. What about people who will now wish that, what if I wish I believed? How many of you have heard about this Jehovah's Witness teaching that 144,000 people, that are the only ones that will make heaven? Actually, that's a wrong interpretation of what the Bible actually teaches. It's actually 12,000 men from the 12 tribes of Israel that God will raise after the rapture to keep on preaching on the earth so that there are people who will believe after the rapture happens. So when they see the rapture happen, they'll say, this thing that Christians were saying is true, it's true. Those guys will start preaching everywhere and more people will be saved. But there will be tribulation. So it's not that wrong teaching that they said that they will pay with their own blood. Who has heard that thing before? That people will pay with their own blood. That's not it. It is that those 144,000 will keep on preaching and lead others to Christ. So it will still be by the gospel. Are you with me? But listen, please be on first flight. Come on. The kind things will go happen. It's scary. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah is a token of what is coming. Do you know what token means? Like, the Bible is saying that what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah is example. You know that in quantitative reasoning, when they give you EG, example, the EG is always very simple. Who remembers quantitative reasoning in school? The example is, 3 plus 3, 5. 5 plus 2, 7. It will be looking very simple. When you now reach the main example, you say, this one. He's telling you that Sodom and Gomorrah was example, e.g. Finally, the Lord was casting out the demon one day. The demon said, wait. The demon was talking, like talking through the man's voice. He said, let Christ come and take you people. The ones that remain, we will tear their flesh into pieces. We will eat them. They see. I discovered that there is too much. Sorry to use the word, this word. I say this with all humility and honesty under God. We're not trying to say we are better than any other ministry and all of that. But there are too many fake. There is too much fake. Plenty fake. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ. You cannot be here and not be serious. Even if you're hiding, maybe we teach brave today. We talk about being audacious. We talk about one service. We'll just see one service. What is salvation? We will come and check you. Where are you? To present all men perfect in Christ. Do you know it is possible to be a preacher and not be saved? Do you know? Matthew chapter 7 from verse 13 to 23 was actually written to pastors. He says, we did this and this and this in your name. Then he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. To present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints. So, where did we get to present all men perfect in Christ? Time is moving quickly. Where did we get that? We got that from verse 27. It said, to whom God will make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody read verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. After me, perfect in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, Christianity is at the heart of human civilization. If you doubt that men need salvation, ask yourself, why is fuel 1-3 now? Do you know it is a human being that has made it so? It is not just a human being, a set of human beings. Oh, Jesus, let me tell you something. And there are people that are happy that it's like that. If they have their way, they'll make it 5K. And they'll be more excited. See, a scientist said, human wickedness is an unexplainable theory. Human wickedness is an unexplainable theory. It is proof that there is some sort of darkness inside men that only God can deliver them from. Do you know what it is that a two-year-old child, we see another child passing and you just look at him. Where did he learn it from? You just see, hey God. You just know that. Let me tell you, if not for Christ saving our hearts, we are capable, we have no inkling of what we are capable of, the kind of evil we are capable of. You read history and you wonder how people are exceedingly wise and wicked. The sinfulness, see, do you know it's a human being that invented a gun? A gun or somebody that somebody invented. He sat down and designed it. I read about a family, a German family. The father was the one that invented the rifle. The son made the silencer. And if you have journeyed in the spirit realm as much as I've done, you even find out that there are some weapons that were invented by demons. They cast out the demon one time in the university, and the demons are confessing how that a certain explosive, how he appeared to the scientist and showed him the drawing of it on his back. See, that is why when Christianity begins to change a man, it is the glory of God. That a man who's supposed to respond with evil is not responding with good. It is something that baffles the mind of darkness. How can a normal man, when you slap him, he's supposed to slap you back. But you slap him and somehow, instead of him to think of vengeance, somehow you just smile. No, that has to be the power of God. Are you with me? To present all men perfect in Christ. To present all men perfect in Christ. By maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature. So the proof that our mission is working in your life is that you are growing spiritually, is that you are changing, is that you are responding better to God. Are you with me?
The natural man does not love the things of God. The natural man does not love to worship.
You know, how do you know a person is dead? His person is no longer responding. He's not responding to that atmosphere again. When a person is dead, you tap him, he's not responding. You do like this, he's not seeing. You are calling him, he's not hearing. But in the spirit realm that he has gone to, he's responding and hearing. You know, are you with me? When a person is disconnected or dead to God, when they are praying, he's not responding. When you are talking about the word of God, he's feeling dead. How do you know a person is dead spiritually, even though he's walking around? You know, because people can be walking corpses. At least Adam and Eve showed us that you can be spiritually dead yet moving around. They ate that fruit and they died spiritually, and the nakedness was proof that something happened spiritually. So how do you know a person is dead? When you present God around the person, the way the person responds is proof that he's dead. You present prayer, you present worship, he's looking at you. You present talking about the gospel, nothing, no stimuli from him, no response from him, but just put him in a party. Pepper them, olali pepper them. The beat makes sense. It makes sense. You know, you have brought him to his realm. He's alive there. When you start talking about things that relate to the flesh and to the world, makes sense. Because at that point, he's alive. Are you following me? So we know that this thing is working. Eh? When we present you with God and you are responding well. Hallelujah. To present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 from verse 7. Please give me from verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Glory! What a way to write the Bible. He's saying that when Christ ascended, the very spirit of captivity became a captive. That means because of Jesus, the very things that imprisoned others has become a prisoner. Oh my God. That's a verse for dominion, no? Captivity is captive. Captivity is captive. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? Jump it. Verse 10. He that descended is the thing that has ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. I don't want to get to explain all of that. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. Are you seeing that again? To present all men perfect. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, do you know what this means? It means that the church is not a place for perfect people. It's to perfect people. You know, people, we are living in a day where everybody just wants to find fault with the church. Where the church is a place to gather the faults of many people. The problem with the church is that we don't walk in love. Somebody, you're open. You know, today, before coming for service, one girl just came on Facebook and said, I think I want to start my own dragging of pastors now. Started mentioning names. Mentioning names of men of God, names of churches. And now that there's a lot of social media monetization, there's a problem. People are cashing out steady from mentioning names of men of God. And you think they have a point, or you think their objective is a lie. Now hunger costs a month. God. He just woke up and said, I want to start dragging. And started mentioning him. Say, these men are stupid. I said, no problem. So they're talking about pastors, mentioning some big pastors and all of that. Well, the Bible is saying that the church is for the perfecting of the saints. That means the church is not a place to gather people who are already perfect, because if you are perfect, you don't need God. Are you with me? It's to bring people who need perfection and we begin to perfect them. If you've gotten everything right, you don't need God. If you know the whole Bible, you don't need God. If you're already perfect in character, you don't need God.
But all the people that need perfection, he gathers them in the church and begins to perfect them. He begins to make them better. Are you with me? For the perfecting of the saints. You know, interestingly, he does not wait for you to be perfect before he calls you a saint. He calls you a saint because he believes that you will become. Are you with me? He believes that everything he said about you, you will become.
Ah, are you putting this service?
For the perfection of the saints. Say after me, God believes in me. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Everybody read verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's saying that these ministry gifts are given till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, that unity of the faith is called the unanimity of the faith. Actually, that one, God will help us achieve it. It is that we'll get to the point where all believers are saying the same thing. On tongues, on salvation, on the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? That this Christian and this Christian, you ask them, what is the way to salvation? He will tell you, they will be saying the same thing. Until we all come to the unanimity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Then he begins to show you something very interesting there. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me tell you, we are all in Christ, but we are not in Christ at the same measure. Ah, my God. Christ is not in us. See, the work of Christ is not revealed in us in the same measure. Some have greater measures because they have grown more. Some people, their own measure. Eh? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That when we measure Christ and measure you, we can know how far have you gone. Where are you in your journey? Ask your neighbor, where are you in your journey? As a Christian, your goal is not even heaven. Your goal is that in a short while, when you look at Christ and look at me, no difference. Are you with me? That's the goal of Christianity. That's the goal. That's the goal of ministry. That as the man of God is getting stronger in Christ, he's telling you, come. See, we all come to the unity of the faith. As it's becoming stronger and greater in different measures, higher measures, of the stature of Christ, he pulls you up also. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, if you don't have this drive as a Christian, it's either you are not saved or you have not been taught. Most times is that you are not saved. Because if you are saved, the natural thing from salvation is that a hunger. There will be a desire to know God like never before. I'm telling you. Test number one, do you have the desire to know God? Do you have the desire to grow spiritually? Do you even have the desire? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. I know I may be sounding tough. I may be sounding maybe not nice. But let me tell you, this is the most important thing. If you don't have this, in all honesty, God will not take you serious. I'm telling you, where are you in your journey? Paul prayed for... He was praying for his children, spiritual children in Galatia, in the church in Galatia. He says, my little children, Galatians 4 verse 19. My little children, of whom I travel in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, listen. Paul was the one praying for those people. That means if Christ even be formed in you, you need a pastor praying for you. That Christ to be formed in you. So, part of the spiritual establishment is that there must be a man of God praying that, oh God, let Christ be formed in them. Like, that as I'm teaching them this word, it's not just a normal prayer. Travail. That Christ be formed in you. By the grace of God, in the past 5 years, I've seen Christ being formed in people. Yes, I've seen it. I've seen people that when they came, Jesus. They were very far. The measure of the stature. There was no measure. Let's not even talk about stature. I remember a certain sister. I love her so much. Powerful daughter of mine. When that first time when she came, I asked her, you know, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Said, I know sure there's Holy Spirit, but I don't think I have any business with him. Okay? I mean, straightforward like that. You believe in speaking in tongues? That one is not for me. Everything we are saying, do you understand? I don't understand. Okay, let's start from first things first. Are you born again? So I led her to Christ. from leading her to Christ, teaching her the word of God, then receive the Holy Spirit, start speaking in tongues, start understanding the Bible. She will call me and ask me questions. Okay, look at this, check this, check this, check this. Oh, this is what the Bible says. Check this. Listen to this sermon, listen to this sermon, listen to this sermon. From there, after a while, she started knowing how the Holy Spirit leads. And then she called me and said, I think God has started leading me like this. I said, okay, we are making progress. God has started leading me like this. God has started leading me like this. Now, is that the same person telling me I had an encounter with Jesus last night? I said, hey, we are coming. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know the painful thing? There are some people, they have never even had this mindset that there is a journey like this. They have not even started their mind. That's the goal. The reason why we will have more crowd is because of this. More people. Listen, if you live your life, you live to 100 and you don't encounter this, you did not live, you existed, you just passed through. Let me show you something. You know, we talked about purpose the other time, but let me show you something. Read Ephesians chapter 1 for me. From verse 3, 1 to 3, go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 5. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Pause. That means God's actual plan from the very beginning. The predestination was that he wanted to have children after the order of Christ. That was why he created the first man. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, meaning the pattern of children he wanted was them to be like Christ. So, the reason he created the first man and every other man is that he wanted a line of children like Jesus Christ. And so when the first man missed it, he brought the pattern man and said, okay, this is how I wanted men to be originally. I wanted children like this. Are you following this? So that means if you came to this earth, lived your life, and you did not come into the pattern man so that you can be produced like him, you missed the reason why you came. So the journey in Christianity is Christ in you to Christ being formed in you. From Christ in you to Christ being formed in you. From Christ in you to Christ being formed in you. You have to get it as your life task, your life vision, that Christ must be formed in me. Are you with me? We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. John chapter 1. From verse 14. Give me from verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Which were born, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Glory! I can't read this verse the way I just read it. No, it's not go down well in my belly. Let me start again. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know, I remember reading this verse years ago. I was like, but as many as received him, are there people that rejected him? Yes. I said, how will somebody see Jesus and reject Jesus? The Lord said, it's possible. But as many as received him, listen, will you receive him? Will you receive him? When Christ is announcing himself to you, listen, as we are here, there are many people that God is drawing to himself. They can feel it that God wants me to be closer to him. They will hear Jesus' song, I am desperate for you. They will cry, I am desperate for you. After that meeting, they can feel the word drawing them. They can feel Christ drawing them. Will you receive him? But as many as received him, to them he gave the power. To them he gave the right. To them he gave the access to become the sons of God.
Hey, glory.
Even to them that believe on his name. Then he says, when you believe on his name, something will happen to you. You will have what is called a new birth experience. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Say, I'm born of God.
Glory.
Say, I'm born of God. Then it says in verse 14. That's what I want to show you now. Verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Read on. Hey. Full of grace and truth. John bear him witness and cried, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Everybody read verse 16. And of his fullness have we received.
Oh.
Do you know what this is telling you? Remember we are saying that we are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing in sense unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's saying that when you get born again, actually, of his fullness have we all received. Grace for grace. Every single thing that was in Christ, we received it inside us. But how much of that thing manifests in your life will come by spiritual growth? Are you following this? When you get born again of his fullness, everything that Christ is carrying, you are carrying it in seed form, but it must be cultivated for it to grow. You are carrying it in seed form. Of his fullness, we have always received grace for grace. Every single thing you see in Christ, let me tell you something, like I've said before, Jesus Christ is not just an example for you, but an example of you. So the journey to spiritual growth is that this destiny that is Christ, I must fulfill it. At the end of your life, how much your life weighs on God's scale is to put Christ here, to put you. How much did this thing replicate in you? Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is why we have the programs that we have. This is why we have the structures that we have. This is why we do the meetings that we do. This is why we cannot just have a service without teaching. Because we want to present all men perfect. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 28 that we read, by teaching them. By teaching them. Praise the Lord. So teaching is a big thing for us. Discipleship is a big thing for us. Answering questions is a big thing for us. Where you are in Christ is a big thing for us. You know, somebody attacked me one time years ago when we just started and said, you don't preach prosperity. I said, well, I believe in prosperity. You cannot claim to believe in Jesus and not believe in prosperity. No, you cannot. You cannot claim to believe in Jesus and not believe in prosperity. You must believe in it. Eh? Jesus came on the scene. Do you know what it means to multiply bread? Hey, God. Hey. He multiplied bread for 5,000. If it's for 10 people, we say maybe it was a mistake. Maybe 5,000 people. And you say God cannot prosper people. No, God prospers. Are you with me?
Yes,
but you see, Christianity is not prosperity. Prosperity is a subsect. In fact, it's not our message. The message is salvation. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Look at Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus Christ was so great that he didn't even have to carry money? Oh my God. So, there is a way you will be great that you are not even limited by what is in your account. They asked him, Master, we want to pay tax. He said, okay, you know, just go. Fish, bring out one fish, you get open it, you get coin, you get money inside. Ah, what kind of level is that? You don't need, you are so big, carrying money is a weight. When you understand what I'm saying, that's what I just said, would destroy poverty mentality, limitation. Ah, we cannot do this thing. No, we don't have, who said you must have the money to do it? Just do it. Okay. You want to get a generator. You want to get something. Then, supernaturally, God gives you an idea. You talk to somebody, say, okay, whatever, I can sponsor this. I can sponsor that. Before you know it, it's done. It's done.
Okay, maybe I'm too ahead of myself. Later, you understand it. I pray for you. You will not be so broke that all you have is money. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will give you higher currencies.
Amen.
Currencies of divine placements.
Amen.
Divine opportunities.
Amen.
Divine relationships.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Man. Yeah, a friend of mine. Somebody I knew, he wanted to go somewhere. He was mentioning to another person, at this place, I need to get there urgently. He said, okay, I know this person. He has a private jet. You can use the private jet and just go. Yeah, hey, really? Are you serious? Before I know, they saw themselves in private jet and they were there. If he had to pay for it, he will spend nothing at 7 million that day. But divine placement, divine opportunities, you will leave it though, in the name of Jesus. That will be your life in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Quickly, as I round up, let me just say some things and we close from there. I hope. Can I lead worship again? I hope. So, Newbury Christian Community, there are four different aspects of the ministry. New Christian Community, there is the Perfecting Church, our church service. Glory! There's the Perfecting Church, our church services that run in all the branches, Port Harcourt, Lagos, Abuja, and others to come. Then we have Steadfast Devotions. Steadfast Devotions is not just one flimsy part of the church. It's a serious part of what we do. Because let me tell you something. No matter what happens in a church service, there has to be something that keeps us going day by day. Are you with me? You can be on fire today. And if you don't have a devotional platform to keep you on fire tomorrow, you will not be on fire tomorrow. It happens. So there are Steadfast Devotions. Our devotionals are under that. Our prayer meetings, our daily prayers are under that. Then there is Glory Brook. Glory Brook is our music and arts ministry. Music and arts ministry. Glory Brook is not just music, it's music and arts ministry. Glory Brook, you are not just a department in church, you are an arm of the ministry. And we have our outreach arm of the ministry. So there are four of them. The Perfecting Church, Steadfast Devotions, Glory Brook, and Outreach. Under the outreach is where we have our crusades, our social media, Bible question and answer, gospel seminar, then all those special meetings that we hold. Gays, special, are you with me? Special conferences. Those conferences are not just for the sake of having church programs. They are designed that other people will come. Are you with me? They are like outreach programs, even though they are done in the church. Other people will come and be blessed and be part of what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2. So let me go. What are the four arms of Newbury Christian Community? What are the four arms? Number one is what? Perfecting Church. Number two, Steadfast Devotionals. Devotions. Glory Brook. Outreach. Now, I want to say something. If you are a first timer and you are here hearing all this I'm saying, it's a family meeting. It's not an actual sermon as it were. Just bear with us. That means you're already part of us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the Perfecting Church, Steadfast Devotions, Glory Brook, Outreach Ministry. Philippians 2 from verse 1 to 3, to 2, please. It says, if there be any consolation in Christ, can we all read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. Read on. Read this on with a loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Read it one more time. Fulfill ye my joy, that them ye be what? Like-minded. Everybody say like-minded. Having the same love, one accord, one mind. That means when people meet new people, they should know. They should know. Like-minded, same love, very important, of one accord, of one mind.
So when an instruction comes, we should be of the same mind. Not divergent. Of the same mind. Say that means same mind. Praise the Lord. Not that we are having devotion and you are there playing La CCNU. Praise the Lord. Somebody is laughing. Same mind. And I knew people should be looking and say, guy, what's going on? What's La CC doing on your phone, right? You are posting La CC. People are praying. And let me tell you, we are working on, see, every now and then we are doing things to improve the structure, to ensure that it is more effective. And so please, I have one charge for you regarding this. Follow. Tell your neighbor, follow. Praise the Lord. You already know that every year we have some special meetings, Living and Cleaving Conference. That's for relationships, choosing a life partner, making your marriage work. We have Christ Life Conference that happens usually in March, between March and April. Then we have the Mission Camp in December. You know that, right? Then between March and December, we have a series of meetings, different special meetings apart from church services. That's why you have Gaze, Mount Up, Bible Illumina. Bible Illumina is a stretch teaching where we just study the Bible and answer questions from the Bible. We have Camp Bethel, Word Festival, Business. And now, we're going to, this year, from 2025, we're going to add Business and Career Conferences. So, between March, where we have March and April, where we have Christ Life Conference, and December or November, where we have the Immersion Camp, we have all those special meetings. Praise the Lord. Also, you can write this one down somewhere. Church small groups. Our pattern is this. When someone comes to the church and you are blessed and you decide to be a member of all that is happening, you go through our growth and discipleship class. Actually, we are going to change that thing from growth and discipleship class to membership class. Going forward, it is to be called membership class, no longer growth and discipleship class. So even if in our videos or our in-house stuff, you still see where they call it growth and discipleship class, it's actually now membership class. Praise the Lord. Because growth and discipleship is not just what happens in those five classes. That's actually just a process to become a member. Are you with me? So it's now membership class. So it's a five-part class, and after the five-part class, you can join a service unit. In fact, you ought to join a service unit. And so your first small group is a service unit. Are you with me? And now, when we say service unit, not everybody is going to be in choir. Not everybody is going to be in technical. Not everybody is going to be in children's church. Some people are going to be in first-timers and follow-up. And I think that's where we need the most hands. Where everybody, you will be calling people, checking on people, first-timers and follow-up. We have ambience units. Ambience units are the ones that bring up ideas for how we can make the church beautiful. So, social media and content creation is a different department. And that takes me to something else. Listen, a new breed. Social media is a big part of our ministry. Please. Now, we are talking about reaching people for Jesus Christ, right? How do people, they need to be formed into the measure of the stature of Christ. Do you know that in this generation, the social media is the greatest discipler? Facebook is a most pastor. Do you know that? I'm not joking, you know. Some people, when they wake up, before they even check if they can still talk, they will carry their phone. Some of them, their phone is like this. As they just roll. Good morning, my Lord. I am not preaching there. Your church is doing something. You don't comment. You don't share. Listen, there is something called an algorithm. What's an algorithm? An algorithm is a sort of program designed to bring to you a certain line of thoughts. So, for instance, if you start commenting on a post, if a church puts a post and maybe like 10 people comment on it, have you noticed that if you have like 10 comments, before you know, they'll say your post is doing very well. That's an algorithm. What will happen is because of 10 comments, they will now begin to share it to more people like the people who commented. So you can see videos like people that watch so-and-so videos watch
can watch this. It will be recommended for you because somebody that is close to you commented. Somebody that is close to you, that is close to somebody that is close to you commented. So that means, by default, if you are not active on your church social media, you are doing a disservice for the spread of the gospel. Now you may think that I'm making this up. So that no, I'm not making it up. There are people who, as we speak, they have not left their house for the past 1 month. They are doing remote jobs. If there is nobody, a time is coming, and it has already come, where you can't preach to some people by road evangelism. You will never meet them. In fact, for instance, like me, you can't meet me on the road. You can't meet me on the road to preach to me, even in the compound I stay. The compound I live in, Port Harcourt. There are people, a man met me one of the days. He said, Pastor, to even see you in this compound is a miracle. God bless you. Please bless me. We are living in the same compound, but to see me is a problem. Why? Sometimes I'm in Port Harcourt, sometimes I'm in Lagos, sometimes I'm in Abuja, sometimes I'm in... He says, I only see you on billboard. That's what he said. He said, I only see you on billboard. And you want to spread the gospel? No. We have to be serious about social media. You cannot be promoting Mark Angel and not promoting the gospel. I cannot laugh alone. Kai, this thing, I cannot laugh alone. Praise the Lord. Like I said, if you're a first timer, please bear with us. We just did our 50th anniversary and we have to just have these meetings. So, church small group service units. Then we're also introducing something else. We are beginning to introduce something else. Accountability small groups. What's accountability small group? Meaning, as a member of this church, once we are sure you are a member, we'll add you to a group of five. Between five to seven, but no more than that. Where somebody will be checking on you. How are you? Are you doing well? Are you okay? Do you have food to eat? What are you going through? What's happening in your life at this point? Who broke your heart recently? Let's go and fight him. Let's give him blow. Why were you not in church? Will you be coming to church? We'll be coming to visit you. Are you following me? Pastor said this. We are praying and fasting. I hope you are praying and fasting. Say, no, I won't break by 12. Okay, try and stretch it to 2. They visit you in the morning. Say, you are praying and fasting. Why are you 1 minute I'm allowed by this time? It's 8 a.m. Say, oh, sister, the hunger wants to finish me. Accountability, small groups. To just ensure that you are following. Because there are some people that are in new breed, even on our WhatsApp group. They are on that WhatsApp group. They've never read any devotional. They just see devotional. Some of them will share it and say, oh, it has come. Share. At least thank God the person is sharing. But to say he read it, no. After doing devotion, he will never follow. Even in nothing. But by the time you are in an accountability group, they can ask you, oh, did you follow this? Did you follow that? So when you start getting strange calls like that, it is from the ministry. Praise the Lord. Say, hello, I'm just sent to check on you. You are part of my accountability group. Praise the Lord. So there will be a leader of that group. And that leader is also part of another accountability group. Somebody is checking on him too. Like that, everybody will be checking on ourselves. Let's ensure we are following. They will also ask you, I hope you are giving. Did you give your tithe? Say, things have been very tight too. Don't worry, we'll lose it now. We'll break the loose. Did you give? What's happening? So, don't fight it when it comes. Don't say they call me too much. This will be every time they call me too much. Praise the Lord. Small groups, service units, and accountability groups. If we will add any other later, we'll let you know. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 17, as we close. Hebrews 13, verse 17. The Bible says, he says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. This thing will only work when you submit yourself. For they watch over your souls as they that must give account. That means I'm going to stand before God and God will be start asking me questions. What did you do to ensure that, you know, this child and this my child I sent to you was okay spiritually? I said, Lord, we set up accountability structures. We put devotion in place.
We put service in it. We did this. Okay, what did you do to ensure the person was committed? So I was checking up on the person. What happened that the person eventually was not serious? I said, Lord, get strong head. This guy gets strong head. I said, Lord, as you can see, I still have 1 million other people that did very well. He said, well done, my good servant. Praise the Lord. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. This is serious. So I told you I had a vision in 2021 where I was standing on the queue and there was a woman that was assessing us, and I saw my results for that year, and I saw on the paper it was written sixth position, number six, and I was confused. Is the Lord telling me six in Port Harcourt, six in Nigeria, six in, I don't know, but it just says sixth position. And part of the things that he said I failed was that I was not very tough in correction. He said, oh, you will give account. A pastor will give account. So please, I'm begging, new breed, follow. You know the hierarchy we have. In every church, the highest level of leadership is the pastors, beginning with the resident pastor, to the assistant pastors, then the church admin. Then the church admin. Very important. From the church admin, you then have heads of service units. We shouldn't have a case where the admin is telling you something, the pastor is saying something. No. You know the problem? Even if you despise that person, God is looking at you. Are you with me? You have to deal with the Lord. Let us be of one mind. Say after me, one mind. So, resident pastors, assistant pastors, church admins, head of departments, workers, 10 members. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 verse 2. And I think I want to say this. Anything you don't see Pastor David and our pastors expressly do, please don't do. Are you with me? You will never hear me call anybody stupid. You will never hear me say, are you mad? Please. And that's where I'm going to. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same what? Like-minded. So now, Pastor Peter, come, let me describe something. So, let's assume this, a member, after service, how you doing? How is everything? If the person has body odor, don't all go. Just, how you doing? How is everything? What's happening? Having the same love. Even if the person is a stranger. Are you with me? Don't let him feel like a stranger. For instance, Pastor, typical Pastor David, if I see you, how are you? That's me. Are you with me? How are you? Are you okay? How are you doing? Sometimes you are trying to be loving and the person is not. You know, I said something one time. Don't treat people as bad as they are. Treat people as good as you are. Sometimes you are trying your best, but the Bible says having the same love, like-minded. Praise the Lord. People can be annoying, but having the same love.